Mishnah says if people of a city center makes the shekels with a shliach who is treated as a shomer, and if the coins were lost or stolen, then if Hegdish had begun using the coins on their behalf by using other coins with the intent that these people should be included, then the shliach would have to swear to the gizbar that he was not negligent. And if Hegdish did not yet use these coins with these people in mind, then the shliach he did not use their coins with the shliach with this person in mind. The shliach must swear to the people that had sent them, and they would then have to send new coins. We see from here that a shomer chinuma does have to swear when he was watching property of Hegdish. And Gemara Shmuel said the shliach here was paid, and as such he was a shomer sachar, and he's swearing to collect his fee, meaning he swears that it's not in his rishos. For Gemara, if he's swearing to collect his fee, why does the Mishnah say that he swears to the gizbar? It's the people who have to pay him. And for the Gemara, Rabbi said the Mishnah means that he swears to the people that sent him, of course, but in the presence of the gizbar, this is done so that the gizbar not suspect the shliach of having stolen the money for himself, or that people not call, also that people not call the shliach a negligent person. In fact, the Gemara, the Mishnah says that coins were lost or stolen for which a shomer sachar is normally chayev. Even if he says that he's potter here because it's hegdish, he still shouldn't be deserving of his fee. Rabbi said, and for the Gemara, the Mishnah means it was stolen by armed robbers, which makes him an oinus, or his ship was lost at sea, which is also an oinus. Therefore, these are the cases in which a shomer sachar would not have to pay. Mark is another teretz. Rabbi Yechon said the Mishnah does argue with our Mishnah because it follows a view of Rav Shimon, who says that when one is responsible for Hegdish, a shomer would have to swear regarding the item of Hegdish. Rekmer, that makes sense according to the second case of the Mishnah where the people would be chayiv to send new coins. However, in the first case of the Mishnah where the people do not have to send new coins, even Rav Shimon would say that he does not have to swear. And for the Gemara, as I said, the Mishnah does not argue with our Mishnah, and both agree that a person does not swear regarding an item of Hegdish. The oath in the Mishnah is a rabbinic oath instituted so that people not treat the property of Hegdish trivially. Mishnah said, "Nice sachar ain't a mishalim." In fact, Rabbi Yosef Bachama asked Rabbi, the Mishnah said that a shomer sachar does not pay for hegdish that was lost or stolen. However, Brisa says if hegdish hired a shomer to guard the parah aduma from becoming puzzled, or to guard a child from becoming tummy, or to guard the grain for the yomer, he is not paid for Shabbos, and therefore, if anything happens on Shabbos, he's not responsible. However, if he was hired for the week, for the month, for the year, or for the shemitah cycle, he's paid for Shabbos and is therefore responsible for anything that may happen on Shabbos. Presumably, this means he's responsible to pay if there's a loss. This contradicts our Mishnah. And for the Gemara means he loses his wage, but not that he would be responsible to pay for a loss. Fact, Rabbi Yosef Bachama asked, that would mean that the first part of the Mishnah means to say that if something happens on Shabbos, he would not get paid for Shabbos. Now that can't be right because the Mishnah clearly says he doesn't get paid for Shabbos. And Fit Gemara, Rabbi did not know what to answer and asked Rabbi Yosef Bachama whether he knew of an answer. He said, Rav Sheshes has said that the case is that this shomer made a kinyan to obligate himself to pay for any loss, even though he would not otherwise be chayev. And Rabbi Yechon gave the same answer as well. The Mishnah said, Rav Shimon, Omer Kodshim Shechayev Be'achar Yusuf V'chulu. A Braisa taught in front of Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba said, if a shomer swears falsely about kodshim for which the owner is responsible, we learn from the pasuk of Behashem v'kichesh, which seems to teach that it belongs to Hashem, that the shomer would be chayiv to bring an oshem, and if he swore about kodshim to which the owner is not responsible, he would not be chayiv to bring an oshem, based on the pasuk of Be'amisa v'kichesh, which seems to teach that it belongs to the owner. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba asked, that seems to be illogical. The opposite would make more sense. Rather, we must explain the braisa to be saying that if he swore falsely about kodshim for which the owner is responsible, he would be chayiv to bring an oshem, based on an inclusion learned from the words of Hashem v'kichesh. And if he did so about kodshim for which the owner is not responsible, he'd be potter based on an exclusion from the words be'amisei v'kichesh. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa meicha sefer Torah v'chudu. A braisa says, Rabbi Yehuda says, one who sells a sefer Torah is not subject to aina because there's no limit to the value of a sefer Torah. The sale of an animal or a diamond is also not subject to aina because a person buys these items to match items that he already has and is therefore worth more to him than the market price. The Rabbanan said to him, based on that logic, every item should not be subject to aina because people always want their items to match. Rabbi Yehuda would say, that's true, but when it comes to matching an animal or a diamond, people will be willing to overpay for that. How much would someone be willing to overpay for matching an item? Amemba said, up to double its value. Bryce says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir says, also someone who sells a horse or a sword or a shield during a war is not subject to aina because the buyer needs these to protect his life. Zok the next Mishnah. Just as there is a concept of aina in financial dealings, there's also a concept of aina with words. A person should not ask a seller how much is that item if he has no intention of buying it. If someone is about tshuva, a person should not say to him, remember your past deeds. If someone is a ger, a person should not say to him, remember the deeds of your ancestors. This is learned from the pasuk of v'ger leisoinu v'leisilchatzenu. Zok the Gemara Brisa says the pasuk of leisoinu ishas amisa refers to aina of words. Maybe it refers to financial aina. The other pasuk says v'chisimkeru. That refers to a financial aina. So the pasuk of leisoinu must refer to aina of words. For example, if someone is about tshuva, a person should not say to him, remember your past deeds. If someone is a ger, a person should not say to him, remember the deeds of your ancestors. If a ger comes to learn Torah, a person should not say to him, a mouth that ate usher foods is now coming to learn Torah, which was given to us by Hashem. If someone suffered or had illness or had buried Nebuch children in his lifetime, a person should not say to him, like Eov's friend said to him, that this amount of suffering must surely have come due to sin. If a donkey driver was looking for merchandise to transfer, transport, he should not tell him, go to so-and-so who will, a person should not tell him, go to so-and-so who sells grain, when in fact he knows that the person does not sell grain and will not have merchandise that he needs to be transported. Yehuda says, a person should not even look at merchandise when he does not have the money to buy it. The Brisa continues, saying things like this can be construed as being said innocently, and therefore it's in the person's heart to know whether he has done something wrong or not. Regarding everything that's given over to someone's heart in this way, the Pasuk says, V'yareisa me'alaikecho. Zachting Mar Rabbi Yechon in the name of Rabbi Shimon Meichai said, I know of words is worse than I know of money, because only regarding I know of words is there written V'yareisa me'alaikecho. Rabbi Lada said, I know of words is worse because it affects the person himself, whereas I know of money only affects the person's money. Rav Shmuel Nachmani said, I know of words is worse because it can never be reversed, whereas I know of money can simply be returned. A braisa was taught in front of Rav Nachman by Yitzchak that said, someone who embarrasses another person in public is like he killed him. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, that's correct, as we see that the embarrassed person loses the red color in his face and then turns white, meaning his blood is taken from him. Abaye asked Rav Dimi, what are the people in Eretz Yisrael careful about? Rav Dimi answered, they are careful not to embarrass people. For Rav Chanina said, all people who go to Gehenna eventually come out, except for three people. Someone who is mezana with a married woman, someone who embarrasses another in public, and someone who calls another person by an embarrassing nickname. In fact, the last two seem to be the same thing. Even if the person is used to being called by that name, it doesn't get embarrassed anymore, it's still a terrible aveira to call him by that name. Dr. Gemara, Rabbi Barachana, named Rabbi Yechanan, said, it's better for a person to be mezana with a woman who may be married to another man rather than to embarrass someone in public. This is seen from the drasha of Rava on the pasuk at Tehillim, which he explains to mean that the people would come to David HaMelech and embarrass him by asking him, what form of death do we use for someone who is mezana with a married woman, referring to David's story with Bathsheba. David answered, such a person gets chenek but is allowed into Olam Haba, where the person who embarrasses another in public is not even allowed into Olam Haba. Mazut Batuvia, name of Rav, said, others quote this in the name of others, it is better for a person to throw himself into a burning fire rather than embarrass another person in public. We learned this from Tamar, who was ready to allow herself to be killed with Sreifa rather than to embarrass Yehuda.